You're listening to Mind Over Motherhood.
Welcome to the Mind Over Motherhood podcast, your new favorite show for all things mindset, motherhood, and mental health. I'm your host, Dr. Curly Crew, a mom of twin girls, modern-day nomad, and MD psychotherapist specializing in women's mental health. I believe that life is full of challenges that can hold you back from being the best version of yourself and living your most incredible life. Your mind shouldn't be one of those things. So listen in each week as I share practical tips and expert strategies to help you manage your mindset, improve your mental health, and be the woman and mother you've always known you could be. So grab a cup of something delicious and let's dive in. Welcome back again to season 3, episode 2 of Mind Over Motherhood. And in this episode, I want to read the first chapter of You Are Not Your Anxiety, because I think that it would be a good introduction for anyone who's not read my book or has not ordered it. And it'll give you a little idea of what we talk about, what I talk about in the book, and maybe entice you to pick up a copy for yourself. But before we do that, I'd like to remind you that we are currently running a little bit of a contest to raffle off a Starbucks gift card. And all you have to do to be entered to win is to write a 5-star review for this beautiful podcast that you listen to. And this is running through the month of September. And probably maybe to the 1st of October, 2021. So depending on when you're listening to this, you may already be past that time, but I would still love it if you would do a 5-star review for the podcast and write an amazing little note to me about how you enjoyed the episodes so that I can share it and our podcast can reach more people. And I also wanted to start, like promised, with a listener question. And so a few weeks ago, I was sent a question from a podcast listener on Instagram. And the question was along the lines of, I have a toddler and a baby, and how do you deal with bringing them into stores and then them, you know, either misbehaving or having a meltdown and you feeling very embarrassed and stressed and ending up, you know, leaving the store with 2 screaming kids, and how do you deal with this? And first of all, I want to say that, like, I don't propose to be a parenting expert, okay? But I will definitely say that this has happened to me on more than one occasion where I have picked up one or both of my 4-year-old daughters and thrown them over my shoulder as they scream like wild banshees and carry them out of Walmart, where people are probably thinking I'm going to beat them, which I do not, but sometimes I do feel like it. And so I do have some strategies and some advice for this discussion specifically, but I don't propose to say that these will work for everyone. And it also depends on the age of your child, okay? So obviously I'm speaking from the perspective of my kids who are 4-year-olds, soon to be 5. And I think that the advice that I'm going to provide probably applies mostly to like 2 to 5-year-olds, maybe. I don't know. This is just an estimate. Again, not a parenting expert, but some of the tips I have found it works really, really well if I do a lot of preparing my kids before we go into a store. So, and I've learned this from experience. So when we pull up to the store, say we're going to Walmart or Canadian Tire or something, and they are desperate to come into the store, I will usually discuss with them the plan. And the plan is go something like this. Okay, we're going to get out of this car and you're going to hold mommy's hand because we're in a parking lot. And then we're going to walk over to the store. And when we get to the store, we're going to get a cart and we're going to push the cart around. And I would really love it if you could stay close to the cart. And while we're doing that, I want to make sure that you know that we might be able to pick up 1 or 2 things that you like, but mommy's going to decide. Okay, something like this. That might not be exactly what I say, but basically the plan is that I give them the plan. Because toddler brains really like to know what's going on. They like to be able to anticipate what is going to happen. And that's helps them keep their lid on and have a bit of structure about what's going to happen and understand what's going to happen. They feel safe when they know what's going to happen. So I prime my girls a lot. And lately we've been struggling specifically with our girls about wanting many toys and things. When they go into stores, they want every single toy they see, they want every single this. And then they get really upset really quickly if I say no to something, because obviously we can't say yes to every single thing our child picks up. And so I found that prepping them ahead of time has made a huge difference, and giving them the notice of how, maybe you're going to get something, maybe you're not. And there's no right or wrong answer in that situation. It's whatever you're going to choose as the parent. But if you're saying, like, we're going to go into the store and we're not getting any toys today, so even if you see something, we can put it on your list for your birthday, or, you know, whatever you want to say, but we're not going to get any toys today. It's just preparing them. The second thing that I do with my girls specifically, and this works often at, if I have like a bit of a list to go to the grocery store, say, and I have two of them, so of course I have to come up with two jobs, but basically I give my kids a job when we go into the store. And so typically one of them will have the important job of holding the list and showing it to me so that I know what's on the list. And the other child will have the job of being kind of like a runner to pick out a grocery item and put it in the cart. And sometimes we'll alternate throughout the trip because of course they're four and they want to do what the other one is doing all the time. But I do find giving my children a job helps them feel really involved, helps them feel productive, especially toddlers. They really like to do life, practical life things like that we're doing, right? A child's job is to learn how to be basically an adult human. And so they want to do what adult humans do, which means they want to shop at the grocery store. They want to pay at the till. They want to talk to the cashier. They want to order their own drinks at the restaurant. They want to do the things that grownups do. And so whereas sometimes that can cause us more stress because we don't want them to do those things, I do find it actually is, things go a lot smoother in my world with my kids if I give them certain jobs that are within their ability to do and that is obviously safe for them. And so specifically in the grocery store, I really like to give them a job. And that is probably one of my best pieces of feedback. The third piece of advice I have for you is that if it's possible for you to not bring your kids to stores because you're just going through a really rough season where they're just absolutely unmanageable in a store and it's just pushing you over the freaking edge every single time you bring your toddler into Walmart and it's just a huge meltdown and you feel terrible and it's just a disaster, like, I give you the license to drop them off at grandma's and go shopping on your own. Okay. You do not have to bring your child all the time to a store if it's a nightmare. And there's been times I've looked at Ryan and just been like, you know what? Normally we'd go into Walmart as a family. We'd go into Canadian Tire or whatever. We'd go into the store together, but I just don't want to have the argument. I don't want to have the fight. So can the kids stay home or can they stay in the truck with you or whatever? Can they just stay in? And now they don't like it. They want to come in. And usually it does cause a little bit of a kerfuffle, but I want you to know that it's completely okay. If you don't want to bring your kids into stores, give it a month, give it 2 weeks. You're like, okay, for the next 2 weeks, I'm just taking a break from having the massive fights in the grocery store. And that's okay too. Okay. So three little tips, again, may or may not work in your situation, but I wanted to give you some insights. And then the final thing I guess I'll say on this point is that this shit happens to all mothers, to all parents. Every single one of us has walked out of a store with a screaming child and wanted to kill them. Okay. Every single one of us. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I've never felt like that, you're lying. Okay. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it will soon, because kids are challenging to say the least, right? And when they get into the store, their little toddler brains just light up with all the colors and all the things that they can see. And it just seems so easy for them. Why can't we get it? And then the frustration ensues when we can't, okay? Or whatever it is. It's also very overwhelming and stimulating for a little child brain to be in a big store like that. So it happens to all of us. Take a deep breath, have lots of compassion, okay? And then go in with a plan. And I hope this is helpful. If you want to contribute a listener question and you want me to basically just like riff out on it and give you my advice, my insights, what I would tell you if you were sitting across from me in the office, what to do in this situation, please submit it. I would love to answer it. Please submit it to our little form on carlycrew.com/podcast. Okay. So without further ado, like I stated, this episode is going to be me reading the first chapter of You Are Not Your Anxiety. So if you have read the book already, feel free to skip on over this episode. If you have not read the book, I hope it'll be a great intro for you. And if you have read the book and just want to hear me read it, well, aren't you a gem? Okay, so here we go. Introduction. This book is going to change your life. Seriously, it is. Every single day, I work with women who feel like their lives have been taken over by their anxiety. They often ask me if there is a book or books I can recommend for them to learn more. I recommend countless resources, none of which have been a perfect match for my approach and teachings up until now. Now, when I'm asked for resources, I can literally say, I actually wrote the book on this shit, and here it is. and your hands is what, or your ears, is what I consider to be your coach, best friend, therapist, and doctor in one neat package, minus the prescription pad and plus an additional degree of sass. It's the majority of my strategy, approaches, and insights on anxiety management for women in written form, complete with my honest and sarcastic personality. You know I couldn't leave that part out, right? I'm so excited to share with you. This book is designed to be a manual for you to learn how to manage your anxiety and reclaim control over your mind and life once and for all. This book is my manifesto for a new generation of women, a generation that is done feeling overstretched, anxious, guilty, resentful, and overwhelmed all the time. It's designed to open your eyes and show you things about your life as a woman, your behavior, and your mind that will help you finally step into your power. It will help you shed the shitty, self-limiting beliefs that continue to keep you stuck and hold you back from being the powerful, independent, and confident woman you've always wanted to be, the woman you know you're meant to be. Think of it like a good kick in the ass, a good shake of your head, or a good come-to-Jesus talk with your brutally honest best friend. If you're someone who's offended easily, I advise you put this book down and pick up something a little bit more polite or a bit more fluffy. Why did I write this book? First of all, women's mental health is my passion, so it follows that I have lots of insights to share. However, there's a deeper purpose to this book and all of my work. I believe helping women heal is truly legacy work. As women, whether we're mothers or not, we are influencers. No, I'm not referring to social media influencers, and no, you don't need a certain number of followers. When I refer to being an influencer, I mean a real-life, flesh-and-blood influencer. Whether at our homes, in our own families, at our workplaces with colleagues, in our churches and spiritual centers, or in our wider communities at large, women influence people in their lives every single day. We are role models for one another and for our partners. We are role models for our children, and we are constantly striving to improve how we raise them so they can be kind, authentic, and loving. When we are taking care of ourselves well, we inspire those around us to take care of themselves too. I can't tell you how many times a woman has asked me if I could see her husband or her sister because the changes that she's making have inspired them to heal themselves as well. We influence others in the way we care about them, the passions we pursue, the businesses we build, and the ideas we manifest. I believe the potential of women to heal the world by simply being ourselves is infinite. However, I also believe that to heal the world, we must first heal ourselves. We must first be well within ourselves. As someone who has been intimately involved in the field of mental health for some time, as both a provider and a patient, I bring a unique perspective to this issue. I believe that our current mental health system is outdated and fragmented. It has not been designed to support women in the ways that women's brains need to be supported. No one has time for out-of-touch therapists who don't have a clue what it feels like to be a busy, overwhelmed mom. More often than not, experiences like these leave women feeling confused, unfixable, and alone. I'm done with all of that, and I bet you are too. It's time for a new revolution in how we care for our mental health as women, and I hope this book will be the first introduction to a new way where women are central to their own healing. This book is going to teach you everything you should have been taught about how your mind works and how anxiety works in your mind. This book is written to teach you how to think about your anxiety in a different and more empowering way than you likely have before. I believe that the way we think about our mental health, our stressors, and our anxiety is also very important, which is why we'll review some important mindset shifts that you'll need to make to manage your anxiety for life. If you are diligent about reading and following the steps and strategies I outline in this book, I believe you will learn how to accept your anxiety as part of you. You will shift your mindset to a more empowered one, and you will reclaim your sense of agency in your life. After you have read this book, it's my intention that you will have learned how the health of your body is integral to the health of your mind. I'm confident you will learn to recognize your anxious thoughts and have strategies to work through them in the moment and during quiet reflection. By employing the self-care strategies in this book, you will bolster your sense of your own self-worth so that you no longer struggle to find the time to care for yourself or feel guilty if you do. It's my hope that through reading this book, you'll learn how to recover control of your mind, gain self-confidence, and take solid steps toward creating the life that you really yearn for and deserve. I have very high expectations for this book, and I hope that you do too. I'm not saying this venture is going to be easy. This book is going to call on you to shine light into the areas of your life that you've either been avoiding or have felt too anxious to explore. You'll be challenged to examine the subconscious behavior of your mind and consider some strategies and mindsets that may counter what you have considered to be true in the past. This book will challenge you to examine your beliefs in your own self-worth and honestly look at how you consider your worth in comparison to those you love and care for. It's going to ask you to look at relationships that make you feel depleted and be honest with yourself about whether these are really serving you. It's going to ask you to dig down into the layers of your onion, sometimes tears included, and get crystal clear about what you really want in your life. You will need to identify your most important values and honestly ask if you treat the woman in the mirror like she is worthy of everything she wants. It's going to ask you whether you're living a life that is genuinely authentic to you, rather than some version of your life that you have created to feel acceptable to others. And finally, I'm going to challenge you to bring to light all of those dreams you have for yourself that have been hidden away under the excuse of being too busy or not deserving. So buckle up, sister. This will be the start of a new chapter in your life, one in which you will feel empowered and calm, one where you no longer feel that you are an unwilling passenger on the emotional roller coaster that is anxiety. To get started, I'm going to share a few somewhat harsh truths to make sure that we're all on the same page. I've just finished the first part of chapter one of You Are Not Your Anxiety, which is my book that I recently published and is available on Amazon and CarlyCrew.com, as well as 30,000 retailers worldwide. And after where I just read, I go through four harsh truths about the book and about your experience. And then we dive in to so much about anxiety management, about what anxiety is and where it comes from, about the roles anxiety plays in our life. And then we dive into strategies on how you can manage your anxiety and what sort of systems you can put in place to help yourself become more confident, more calm, more assertive, and ditch people pleasing for good. If you have found this excerpt helpful, you are going to love this book. And I promise you, this was like maybe 1,000 words of close to 100,000 words. Like, this book, y'all, is dense. Okay. It is very full of things. It is full of all of my insights, or most of them anyways. I'm getting more insights every day, but it's full of everything that I could literally jam pack in those pages between the covers. Okay. So if you found this insightful, if you found this intriguing and you are interested in picking up your own copy, you can do so on CarlyCrew.com. They are always available for sale there. And I would absolutely just be so grateful for your purchase. Or if you know someone who might find it helpful, the holidays are just around the corner, pick up a couple copies, maybe pick up a branded mug in the bundles we're going to release pretty soon. Maybe pick up one of those as well, because I have some beautiful little Unoya Medical branded mugs coming out that have a catchy little quote on them. So maybe pick one of those up for those that you love in your life who could use some help with their anxiety. And once again, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the podcast. It's a little bit different. In the next episodes to come, we're going to probably dive into some meditations. We're going to talk about managing that crazy to-do list. I'm super excited. So thank you so much for tuning in. Again, drop a review if you haven't yet. I would love it if you did. And I will catch you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening to Mind Over Motherhood. If you love this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could take a screenshot, tag me, and share it on your socials so I know that you're listening. If you have questions or concerns about anything I discussed in this episode, or have ideas for new episodes, please reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. Catch you next time.
You're listening to Mind Over Motherhood.